The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. Happy New Year! Coming up on the first episode of Tech Tips for 2022, we'll take a look at 11 seldom used Google Voice commands. We also have another installment of our streaming services review series with a look at the Peacock video streaming service. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. It's a new year, and that means new tricks for your Android phone. Here are 11 advanced assistant tricks you should really remember on Android. Google Assistant can do more than you realize. Ready to teach your phone some new tricks? Fancy new features are fan-freaking-tastic, but let's face it, we aren't all carrying Google shiny new Pixel phones, and we all don't have Android 12 in front of our shiny faces just yet. With all of that in mind, I thought now would be a fine time to turn our attention to some of Android's many buried treasures, phenomenal time-saving and productivity-boosting possibilities built right into the software on our existing phones, no matter who made them or how old they are, within the realm of reason. Anyway, if you're still tooting around on a phone with a Froyo, sorry pal, but you're on your own. Specifically, I want to think our way through some incredibly useful advanced features connected to Google Assistant, the friendly, if sometimes slightly sassy, virtual companion that's always standing by and ready to lend a helping hand or voice. So without further ado, I give you 11 advanced Google Assistant commands you should really remember to use on Android, no matter what Android phone you're carrying or which Android version it's running. Trick number one. The voice in your head. The first Google Assistant trick for Android is one of my all-time favorites. It's one of the Assistant's most practical and impressive powers, and yet hardly anyone seems to realize it's available. Once you know it's there, though, good golly will you be giddy. So here it is. Anytime you're viewing an article within Chrome, the Google app, or the Google News app on your Android phone, you can summon the assistant by saying, "Hey Google," or using whatever method you like, and then say one of the following commands: read it, read this, read aloud, or read this please, if you want to be polite. However you phrase it, Assistant will merely oblige and start reading the article on the screen out loud to you. It's an awesome way to catch up on very interesting content whilst driving, walking, horsey chasing, or whatever it is you get up to do. And the experience is quite lovely. Just like if you were listening to a traditional podcast, you can skip around in the audio and adjust the playback speed via a bar at the bottom of your screen. You can even control the playback with a panel that'll pop up in your notification panel anytime the audio is playing. The only requirements are that you're running a 2014 Android 5.0 release or higher. And if you aren't, we've got bigger fish to fry. And that you've got Assistant's language set to English. Trick number two, power status. Wondering how your phone's battery is doing towards the end of a long day? No problem. Just ask your Android-dwelling assistant, "What's my battery level?" And you'll have the answer in half a heartbeat. What makes this command especially useful is the fact that it also works from an assistant connected speaker or smart display. So even if your phone isn't right there with you, you can still ask Google how much power is left. In that instance, just be sure to add an extra bit of specificity into your command with "What's my phone's battery level?" as your spoken request. Assistant will rattle back the exact remaining percentage no matter where your phone is physically located. Trick number 3, the Google Phone Finder. Next, let's step back a bit from there and get to an even more basic but still off-relevant request. When you can't find your phone at all, remember that the Google Assistant command "Where is my phone?" as your one-stop phone finding solution. This one works on a couple of different levels. First, if you have multiple Android devices connected to the same Google account, say a work phone and a personal phone, you can give this command to any one of those gizmos and have it return results for the others. No matter how many Android devices you've got on your account, you can give the command to an assistant connected speaker or smart display or even a current Chromebook, so long as you're signed in to the same Google account on the device. Whichever way you go, Assistant will offer up the missing phone's last known location and also offer a ring for you. Trick number 4, the Swift Shusher. Another useful option from the phone control file is Assistant's ability to silence your device on demand whenever the need arises. It may seem obvious, but it's easy to forget. A quick uttering of "silence my phone" will cause Assistant to turn your device's volume all the way down to avoid any interruptions. And just like our last two commands, this one will work on your actual Android device or on any Assistant connected speaker, smart display, or Chromebook whenever you're signed into the same account. Trick number 5, location dictation. All right, we've covered what to do if you can't find your phone, but what do you do if you have your phone and still don't know where you are? Simply ask, "Where am I?" to your friendly neighborhood assistant. That'll cause it to pop up a map showing you your own current location at that exact moment. On a related note, you can ask Assistant to "share my location" to pull up a simple interface for sending your current whereabouts to anyone you need. Say a coworker who's supposed to meet you at a client's office, or a jolly old chap who can't remember the restaurant you agreed upon for lunch. Trick number 6, your screenshot genie. Android allows you to snag screenshots with a variety of mechanisms, both on-screen and physical button-based, but those commands aren't always convenient. Sometimes you need a screenshot saved when you don't have a free hand for one reason or another. In those moments, simply shout out to your Android assistant and then say these magic words, "Take screenshot." And that's it. Assistant will have an image of whatever's on your screen at that moment. No tapping, button pressing, or frustrated fussing required. Trick number 7, snappy photo snapping. Taking a picture typically requires both patience and fingers, at least in the traditional ways of handling that task. When you need to snap a photo on your phone without all the usual requirements, keep some of these assistant possibilities at the front of your bustling brain. Take a picture. Take a selfie. Take a video. And for the real assistant flexing power, add in 10 seconds or whatever amount of time you need to the end of any of those commands. That'll cause Assistant to start a countdown timer so you'll have plenty of time to pose your square-shaped head just right and start smiling all purdy. Trick number 8, the sanity-saving noisemaker. Whether you're back in the office and trying to adjust to all that workplace racket or working from home and trying to tune out all of that racket, Assistant has an excellent option to help you focus. Let's all say it together. Play white noise. And if that ever isn't cutting it for you, you've got a bunch of other variations just waiting to be embraced. For example, play relaxing sounds. Play nature sounds. Play water sounds. Play running water sounds. Play babbling brook sounds. Play oscillating fan sounds. Play fireplace sounds. And so on. Trick number 9, the settings shortcut. Assistant's got a lot of options, especially on your phone. But rather ironically, getting to the Assistant settings on Android isn't exactly intuitive. You've usually got to go through either the Google app or the Google Home app and wade your way through multiple murky menus to find what you want. Well, here's the better way. Holler at the Assistant and say, Assistant settings. Bam. Problem solved. Trick number 10. Auto-repeat. If Assistant ever says something you didn't quite catch, try a variation of one of these little-known commands. Can you repeat that more slowly? Can you repeat that more loudly? I didn't hear you. Trick number 11. The most useful command of all. Well, my dear, here's the bad news. We've nearly reached the end of this Assistant Android collection. But wait, there's good news still. We've saved the best for last. Assistant, you see, is a lovely virtual creature. It can be quite helpful and often even pleasant, but it also has a habit of sometimes butting in and responding to something when you didn't actually want its involvement. The next time Assistant starts flapping its digital trap out of line, just remember these four magical words. That wasn't for you. Easy, right? Listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Let's take a look at another video streaming service. Does Peacock Have Wings? A review of the Peacock streaming service from NBC Universal. This comes to us from Access World Magazine and it is written by Janet Ingber. Peacock is a streaming service from NBC Universal, which is owned by the Comcast Corporation. You can watch many of your favorite NBC shows and have access to other videos, including shows and movies, as well as original content from Peacock. The Peacock app is free from the iOS App Store or Google Play Store. There are in-app purchases available to unlock even more content. If you are only looking for titles with audio description, Peacock has over 100 titles as of October 20th. They started offering audio description in June of 2021. You can find a list of currently available titles with audio description on the American Council of the Blind Audio Description Project website. Peacock has informed Access World that a method for accessing a list of titles with audio description from NBC Universal directly should be available soon. NBC Universal made us aware that they have first prioritized the accessibility on the most commonly used devices, which are smart TVs and streaming devices like the Apple TV, followed by the web platform. iOS and Android accessibility is the current focus for the company, and they expect substantial improvements in the next few months. Peacock does not provide phone support, which was verified when I called NBC in New York. They do provide chat support, which is accessible, and they have an extensive help section. I will discuss my experience with Peacock's chat support later in this article. Peacock supports many devices, including iOS 12 and above and Android 6.0 and above. They provide support for web browsers, the Apple TV, and many other streaming devices and smart TVs. You can sign up for Peacock through the app or through the website. You will be asked to enter your email address and a password. Peacock offers three subscription plans. The free version has ads and content limitations. If you want to access all the Peacock content, choose the premium plan, which costs $4.99 per month or $49 per year. The premium plus plan has fewer ads and costs $9.99 per month or $99 per year. If you choose premium or premium plus, you will need to enter payment information. Be sure to check Peacock's website for a free trial and free upgrades from certain providers. Creating a profile using the iOS app. Once your sign-up process is complete, the next step is to create a profile. This is not optional, and here is where accessibility issues begin. As part of the profile process, you will need to choose an avatar from numerous options, all of which are unlabeled graphics when using the iOS app. On my iPhone, I had voiceover recognition enabled, including image descriptions, but this did not help in locating avatar choices. VoiceOver did not say anything when I put my fingers on the avatar. With sighted assistance, I selected one. A new screen loaded with various options, including TV and movies. The only way to get back to the profile screen was to touch the avatar. Unfortunately, that did not work when I tapped in the general area of the avatar. With sighted assistance, I got back to the profile screen. VoiceOver read the basic text but did not say the names of the profiles on the screen and associated avatars. The information was on the screen but not accessible to VoiceOver. While using the website on my Mac with VoiceOver, when I was asked to choose a profile avatar, a list of unlabeled buttons was presented. I randomly picked one that turned out to be a dinosaur. On the profile screen, VoiceOver did read the profile name. Selecting a profile with the usual control plus option plus spacebar sent me back to the avatar selection screen. With the VoiceOver cursor on the profile name, I performed a mouse click with shift plus option plus control plus spacebar. This worked. I did not need to have the mouse pointer on the VoiceOver cursor. I contacted Peacock's chat support on August 18th and explained about the unlabeled graphics. The agent said she would escalate the case. That night, a person from the Peacock tech support called me, said he would find out how to solve the problem, and said he would call me back. Unfortunately, that agent has yet to respond. Whether you use a mouse click on the Mac or activate your avatar with or without sighted assistance, a new screen will load with content to watch. Once this part of the setup is done, you should automatically end up on the main screen when Peacock is launched. Activating audio description. If you have some usable vision, you might be able to activate audio description independently on Apple products. Since I don't have usable vision, I needed sighted assistance. Once the feature is enabled, audio description should remain on. I used the latest version of iOS 14 on three different iPhones, iPhone 7, iPhone X, and iPhone XS, to check this out. I did the same test on my MacBook Pro with the latest version of macOS Big Sur. My iPhone X did not keep audio description on, but the other devices did. In early October, I purchased an iPhone 13 mini and installed iOS 15. When I started playing described content, Peacock apparently remembered my audio description setting. I did not have to enable it. I selected a show I hadn't watched, and the audio description automatically worked. Also, unlike iPhone X, my iPhone 13 mini kept the setting. Again, I spent a great deal of time with chat support. Two different agents provided the following instructions intended for a sighted user, which should work for activating audio description on both iOS and on the web. Launch the content you would like to watch. Scroll a bit down to pull up the content navigation options, and you will see a rectangular text bubble icon on the left side. You will see a rectangular text bubble icon next to the eye icon below the navigation controls. Please click on the text bubble and you will see audio and subtitles options. Then hover over the audio option. Once you hover over the audio option, you will see two options stacked on top of the audio option. Select the English option on top of the English audio description option. I explained to the agents that none of the graphics in the instructions are labeled. Subsequently, the agents closed the chat. With sighted assistance, I tried to turn on audio description on the iPhone. I tried it with VoiceOver both on and off. I was instructed to perform a series of taps on different parts of the screen. A list of controls came up, but they disappeared within a few seconds. I learned from my sighted assistant that other controls, including playback controls, also disappeared, both when using VoiceOver and when turning it off. Controls only appear on the screen for a short time before being hidden again, meaning that they do not register at all for VoiceOver. I also needed sighted assistance to enable audio description on my Mac. Now we'll take a look at Peacock on an iOS device. On the app's main screen, the easiest way to navigate is by flicking right. Although headings and containers are in the VoiceOver rotor, VoiceOver read a few containers and no headings. The iOS version has the same categories as on the Peacock website. At the bottom of the screen are three options: Browse, Channels, and Search. Unfortunately, the Search button is not accessible with VoiceOver. I turned VoiceOver off, tapped the bottom right corner of my screen, and turned VoiceOver back on. Sometimes I needed several attempts for this to work. On the next screen is an edit box for entering your query. Once a query is entered, select the Search button on the bottom right of the screen. Below the edit box are two options, Results and Clips. VoiceOver does not give any indication about which option is selected. VoiceOver also does not read the search results. Click right past the Clips option and then double tap. With luck, you'll be on the first search result. Double tap and a new screen will load. This screen will display information for the search. Peacock keeps a record of your past searches and VoiceOver reads the information. When browsing through content using various categories or launching the full list of TV shows or movies, individual shows or movies are not labeled when using VoiceOver. Now we'll take a look at Peacock on the Mac. In my opinion, the web version of Peacock works significantly better than the iOS version. It's not perfect, but it is easier to use. Peacock's main screen can be navigated with rotor buttons including headings, links, and forums. Even with all these navigation options, I recommend using up and down arrow keys to explore the website. There are links such as Channels, Browse, Movies, and Featured. Headings include Continue Watching, Peacock Picks, and Kids Corner. Buttons include Account and Search. Once you find something to play, select the link associated with the program or movie. Once content is playing, VoiceOver plus right arrow until you hear how much time has elapsed and how much time is left for whatever you are watching. After that is a group of unlabeled buttons. On all the buttons, VoiceOver says toggle button. You are on a checkbox. The buttons are Info. This gives information about the movie or TV show you have chosen. Options for subtitles and languages. Audio description is listed here. When available, audio description is listed here when available. Audio description must be set up using the instructions listed above, otherwise it won't work. Rewind. Goes back 10 seconds. Pause or play. Forward. Goes forward 10 seconds. Full screen or window. When watching a TV show, there is a seventh button called More Episodes. As we have done for other services in this series, below you will find accessibility findings from other platforms from other authors. Aaron Pierce has provided accessibility findings for using the service on Windows or an Apple TV. Windows. The Peacock website was tested on a computer running Windows 10 using the NVDA screen reader with the Firefox browser. Using Peacock on Windows is similar to using the service on a Mac. The account creation process is fully accessible, and when creating a profile, the buttons for choosing an avatar are labeled distinctly, e.g., Choose Avatar 1. Browsing and searching for content is accessible. Just remember to check the entire screen if it seems that you activated something but cannot determine where the new content appears. For example, when I was changing seasons of a TV show, the list of seasons appeared above the options for episodes. More like this, etc. When playing content, the playback controls are unlabeled, but follow the same layout listed in the section detailing using Peacock on the Mac. When opening subtitle and audio options, these buttons do have labels, fortunately. In addition, if you turn off NVDA's browse mode and tab through the interface, you will be able to focus the web player and then use the following keyboard controls for playback. Spacebar for play and pause, left and right arrows for rewind and fast forward, respectively, and up and down arrows for volume. When watching live TV, there are two unlabeled buttons toward the top of the page. One is unavailable, but the other will mute or unmute content. Note, for all playback controls, there is no change in the button's state, even when the control is a toggle. The buttons are always listed as unpressed. Using a Peacock on an Apple TV. Apple TV seems to be the most accessible of all the methods we tested for watching Peacock. Profiles themselves are unlabeled but can be activated regardless, and the only element of note that does not have a label is the search option. Note that if you immediately begin scrolling through the app, you may see many unlabeled options. Waiting a moment before scrolling through a category seems to allow the app to fully load the labels. The playback controls when playing content are fully accessible, including the Play Resume button and the options for activating subtitles and audio description. Note that the audio description and subtitle options seem to be in somewhat of a grid, so it might be confusing to navigate it first, using Peacock on the X1 platform. The X1 platform is Comcast's cloud-based operating system, collecting television content from a number of sources onto one device or through a mobile app. We did not have access directly to Peacock on X1, but were provided a demonstration of the current accessibility of Peacock on the X1 platform by Comcast. The platform has its own screen reader called Voice Guidance, which can be activated directly with two presses of the dedicated accessibility button. In fact, pressing the button will launch the accessibility menu, while the second activates Voice Guidance, the first item on the menu. Voice Guidance functions similarly to other streaming device screen readers, such as VoiceOver on Apple TV or VoiceView on Amazon Fire TV. Generally, when you navigate using Voice Guidance, you will hear your currently focused item followed by more information, if it is available, and information on how to navigate in the current screen. The Peacock app appears to be fully accessible using this system with one minor hiccup. When navigating Peacock content from the main screen of the Peacock app, the navigation instructions are read before the title of the content. A workaround we discovered that makes the process of navigating faster is to navigate to the end of any given content row and select the View All option. On the subsequent screen, the content is read first, making navigation much quicker. The only areas where this View All option might not be available are rows containing featured content, since they generally only have a few select content options. If you are using a smartphone or tablet as your primary device for watching streaming content, we can't recommend you check out Peacock at this time, as the accessibility issues make the app unusable. Though we did not discuss it above, a quick review of the Android app seemed to result in similar issues as were reported with the iOS app. If you are using a desktop or laptop computer, particularly if you are using Windows and are someone who does not mind navigating around inaccessible controls, you might find Peacock a good option for you. If you are using an Apple TV as your main device for watching content, you should have no problem using Peacock. That being said, if you encounter issues and need help, be aware that tech support staff do not seem to be well-versed in access technology. Based on our discussions with the Peacock team and the fact that the Apple TV experience is so accessible, along with the partial access features on the web interface, especially with the use of Era, we are optimistic that the experience for mobile users will improve in time. This will be especially important for Peacock's success among the blindness community going forward. As often, a mobile device is the primary device people with vision loss, especially those without usable vision, use to watch their favorite media. We will be keeping an eye on the accessibility developments from Peacock and will be bringing you an access update for the mobile experience when accessibility has improved. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.